Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. It's a blessing to be in church this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 16, Luke in chapter 16, and we just finished chapter 15 as we're going through the teachings of Christ in chronological order, and looked at the parables given to us in chapter 15, ending with the addressing the mentality of the elder son and the father's admonishment to him concerning the prodigal. And I trust that was a tremendous help in just understanding the mindset we need to have as we are looking to have the love for others that God has for them. And that's important. And asking God to help me to love as you want me to love, and help me to support as you'd have me to support, help me to know just what we need to do as helping people, not hindering them. We cannot bless a person's sin. We cannot condone their rebellion. But it's a wisdom of knowing that if it's tough love or whatever, but we have to do it according to God's love for that individual. And I trust that was a help there in dealing with the elder son. Tonight we're looking at, in chapter 16 now, the parable of the unjust steward. So if you go ahead and stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 13. A very difficult parable to fully comprehend. And the first thought, normally as you read this, you'll have a wrong impression of it. And that's normal. Then you have to go back and put it all together. And then it all makes sense at the end. Once you've understanding it the way that God would have us to understand it, it always makes sense. But takes a little bit of study sometime to do that. But Luke chapter 16. All right, I know that it's Wednesday night, and it's probably tough getting here tonight. I mean, through all the different weather conditions and the health issues and everything else. But you're here, and let's plug into what God has for us. I know there's a lot of our people watching on live stream, and so you plug in at home there and let God speak to you through the preaching of the Word of God tonight. So here, Luke chapter 16, verse 1. And he said also unto the disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 40. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you, and again, we thank you for the privilege it is to be in church. Thank you for your presence in this place and what we've already experienced and been ministered to by what we've already received tonight. And now as we've opened up your holy word and we've read this passage of scripture, this parable that you have recorded for us to learn from it, I pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So I think the best way to address this particular parable, when, as we have read, no doubt you have some red flares going off or some red flags or your question marks and wondering what in the world is he presenting to us on this parable. So I think the best way to look at this is looking at the reason he gave it. The overall truth from this parable. Now, let me tell you ahead of time that the parable of the unjust steward, some disagree on the applications of this parable. And as I look back over all the years, my first application of this parable has changed a little bit, you know, and the more I've studied it, the more that I have gained in wisdom and understanding, I've seen things a little bit. I've never looked at it wrongly. I just haven't had the proper application of what is here, and so I think that you'll understand that. You'll maybe have some of the very same thoughts tonight as we go through this tonight. But the overall truth from the parable is found in verse 13. Which is the end of addressing this particular parable. No servant can serve two masters, for there either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then the thought, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God as master and be a steward of both. Now, what are you saying there? Overall truth, serve God as the master. And as you're serving God as the master, you have to be a steward of mammon. Because mammon is something that we have to deal with. The mammon of unrighteousness is just simply the money that makes this world system that we're in work. There has been a money, type of money, since the very beginning of God's creation of humanity and how that we are to live and how we are to work. For a living, we are to work, first of all, tilling the ground. We work for a living. The fruit is something that would be part of the mammon or the money of this world. There is no type of mammon in heaven. There's no type of money in heaven. And so what we have to deal with as far as currency is the unrighteous mammon of this world. It's a currency. It's what we have to be aware of, but not make it master. We can't make and live our lives looking at the unrighteous mammon or the currency of this world as dictates how we live. We cannot not serve or become looking at money as master. You have to focus on God. No matter what generation, no matter what, we focus on God as master and then use his help to be good stewards of money or mammon because we need that, and God supplies that, amen, even as we have certain jobs and certain employments. It is God who allows that and works through that. I think that a Christian business ought to be blessed because you're looking to God and your people are looking to God to be able to make the money for not only that business to survive, but for that individual to go home and supply the needs for their family, supply the needs for the church that God has planted them in. So it is part of life. Money, mammon. So the overall truth, serve God and as master and be a steward to both God and mammon. Mammon, definition, would be the riches of this world, the currency, the money, if you will, basically. Steward is one who manages another's wealth. And as a believer, I'm a steward of everything because I own nothing. I am Christ's. My life is crucified. And we're going to see some of that as we continue on. But truth, loving, and serving mammon will lead to despising God. That's at verse 13. Again, we're focused on this is the meaning of this parable. This is what we need to get out of it, is we need to serve God as master, and we are stewards to mammon. But if we love and serve mammon, it will lead to despising God. This idea of despising is to cast off. How many have turned away from God because they want to serve mammon? Their whole focus is on this world. Their whole focus is the things of this world. Their focus is what I can have and what I can do with the finances that I have, instead of how can I use the finances in my service and my worship of God. So despising God is casting off, treading down, to turn away from. Sometimes people turn away from God without even realizing it's this idea, the reason I'm turning away is because I have a greater love for mammon than I have for God. And I prefer serving mammon than serving God. And that happens quite often, and again, people don't even realize it. So again, we find here verse 13, that is the main truth. So do not love and serve money, but make a friend. Your friend, that's what he says here, and we're going to see that. But make a friend out of money and use it for what's good in God's eyes. Making a friend of money and using that friend, that relationship that I have with mammon, and using it as God would have me to use it. What's right in God's eyes? Can I tell you, that's, whether you realize it or not, that's what most of us in here are doing tonight. We all have to deal with money. We all have to pay bills. But how do I look at the money that I'm using to pay bills? You look at it as being a friend. Not something that I serve. Not something that masters my life. But something that makes my life a little more pleasant. And using it as God, my master, would have me to use it. So that's knowing that's the truth. That's the basis for the parable. How would Jesus illustrate this for his disciples to learn? That's the parable. That's how he is going to illustrate this idea of currency, money, because they all had, back first century, they would have to deal with finances. They would have to deal with currency. They would have to finance the church. They would have to finance the work of the church. and going into missions, and Paul in the book of Corinthians, as he writes to the churches, we need the finances to be able to accomplish what God has us to accomplish in reaching the world. And so we encourage you to give to this missions, give to this concept of this of reaching the world with the gospel and being able to supply our needs so that we can go out and we can do certain things. That's what they were doing. We've continued to do it for this 21st century. But do we understand what we're doing? If you understand what you're doing and you understand it's the principle that God has established for us to live by, it's a whole lot easier to do it. And you're more apt to get the most out of it. So how would he illustrate this for the disciples? This is what he wanted them to learn. So it's chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Jesus presents a worldly-minded steward, being a steward of a very wealthy man on this earth. He's not talking about serving God. He's talking about being a steward of a wealthy man. The Bible says a certain rich man which had a steward. So this is a worldly-minded steward that was serving a very rich man. He was in charge of this man's finances, and he was supposed to be making this man money. He was supposed to be a financial advisor. He was supposed to take the money and invest in the right things. He was supposed to take that money and have it grow so that this man might justify having a steward to take care of the things that he can't take care of, but he hired a steward to be able to manage his wealth, that he would have a greater income of this wealth. But this worldly steward was charged, convicted, and eventually fired for wasting his master's, his employees, or employer's goods. Do you see that in there? Because he says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. He's already fired him. He's already said, I have enough evidence here to know that you have wasted my goods. You have not been the steward that I hired you to be. He used wrongfully misappropriation of finances. He failed to handle the things that needed to be handled. Maybe it was being lazy. He wasn't going around collecting the money that he was supposed to be collecting. And so whoever that owed this master money was getting by with not paying because the steward wasn't coming around and collecting as he should have been. Whatever all these things was, he was charged and he was convicted and he was let go, fired from being this man's steward. And as I look there, what a principle that is, because all of us will be guilty of this from time to time. Because we are, if we put ourselves there, we're stewards of an almighty God. Being stewards of an almighty God, that means my time is something that I am a steward of. My talent, spiritual gifts, opportunities that God has made available to me is something that I need to be given account of. My finances, as being a steward of God's, I need to make sure that I'm doing what God would have me to do with the finances that he has entrusted me with. And can I tell you, we all fail from time to time. We fail maybe to help somebody when God would have us to help somebody by distributing some of his wealth and my stewardship. I fail to give it Sometimes I give it when I shouldn't give it, because I give it because I want to give it, and the person that I give it to is not someone that God would have me to give to, because that person might be under chastisement, and God might be taking away their finances to put them in a position where they look to God, and all I'm doing is getting in the way of God working in that person's life to get them to where they need to be. And I'm misappropriating the money that he has given to me to be a steward of, and I fail to give sometimes, and then I fail not to give. Wow. To give when I shouldn't. All of us, I think we could all think about that. Our time. Are we really using the time that we have? Redeeming the time? Are we using that as we ought to use the time that we have? The talent. God's given you a gift in music, but because you're too busy doing other things, you're not using that to glorify the Lord. God's given you a talent to use in his church, but you're too busy using your talent to gain the worldly gain without thinking about how God wants you to use that to glorify him. That's what we're talking about here. So, we're not our own. I'm a steward. I'm not an owner. I preached a message on that not too long ago. I'm not an owner, and that takes away the pressure if you realize I'm just a steward. The house I'm in, the bills I have, I'm a steward, and if I don't have it, God, what do you want me to do? This is your house. God, this is your child. This is your wife that you gave me. This is the husband that you gave me. And so we looked at God and said, it's yours. I'm just wanting to be the steward in these areas that you want me to be. How would you have me to deal with it? The Bible says over in the book of 1 Corinthians, and again, you know the verses here, so let me just read it to you, but in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You're not your own. You have a body, yes, but it's not really yours. You have finances, yes, but it's really not yours. You have time, yes, but it's really not yours. You have finances, but it's really not yours. Why? Because you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. I already bought you with the price, so now you are his. You're God's. That can be a blessing to understand that. For ye are bought with a price, therefore, be a good steward. Glorify God. Do what God would have you to do. And everything that you have, that God has given to you, that you possess, you are a steward of everything that you have. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Galatians in 2, chapter 2 and verse 20, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but I live as being crucified. I live as being dead to self and alive to God. That's a steward. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do we get that? Do we understand that? Okay. Again, we've already studied why he gave the parable. We understand the message. This is how he presents it to us. This is how it can sink in to be able to understand what God has given to us in the scriptures. So he presents a worldly, unjust steward. He's not doing what he ought to be doing as a steward. And he is charged, convicted, and fired. I don't want to be fired. I've been charged maybe and I've failed, but when I fail and I'm convicted of that, I need to say, Lord, don't fire me, forgive me. Help strengthen me to help me so I can maybe be a better steward, I can do better next time. We have God to look to. He didn't have God to look to. All he had was this world. So verse 3 through 7, the thinking and fast actions of this fired steward. He's going to be commended for this because he hadn't been doing anything with this to start with, possibly lazy. So we find here in verse 3, he says, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. The realistic view of his situation. I just don't see myself working construction. I don't know how to do that. To beg, I'm too proud. I don't see myself doing that either. A realistic evaluation of what's going on in his life. Yeah. And then verse 4 and 7. He focused on what he could do to help himself. Now, again, this is a worldly-minded man. This is someone that doesn't believe in eternity. This is someone that is lost. Doesn't believe in God, doesn't see himself in eternity. All he sees is what is he's living in. His generation, we're going to see that in just a minute. His generation meaning that this is all I have. This is the only, there's nothing beyond this life. This life is all I have. And now I've been fired as a steward. That was my livelihood. I can't do anything else. And so what can I do to help benefit me in this world? That's what we have here. And verse 47, he focuses on what he could do to help himself. Verse 4, he says, and I am resolved what to do. Finally come together, he said, I've got it. I know what I need to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm resolved what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, and I'm going to lose this, I know I've already been fired, they, the ones that I am to go to be able to collect for my master, the steward, it's my job, those that are involved here. He said, I am put out of the steward, they that may receive me into their houses. If I make them happy, then they might owe me a debt, and I'll be able to live off of them for a little while anyway. Because of what I'm going to do for them. Again, his focus is only on himself. But how can I use every situation to benefit me? So he called every one of the Lord's debtors unto him. Now he's going to make it so they may receive him into their houses afterwards. So here's what I'm going to do to accomplish that. So he called every one of the Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? What is your overall debt? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly before they come and take me away from here. Because I'm still representing his wealth. And I have been given the authority to be able to settle any kind of bill that you have. That's my position. Let me use that position to benefit you before they come and take me away. So quickly, he said, and write 50. And it'll be settled. So, in order to get votes from these people to help him, then let me take away all your money, all your debt, and you'll be free from all your debt. And vote for me whenever it's time to vote for me. The trouble is, You're just thinking of yourself because somebody's got to pay for that debt. Amen. Look at around you, we're the somebodies. But I've got a position. If I can do this, then it will surely cause you to support me. this type of thinking has been going on for some time. But so he's thinking of himself. He's thinking, what can I do to be able to get the support? So I'm going to settle his bill for 50% off. And he's, well, you'll do that for me. Write it, give me, hurry up. Well, I've still got the authority to make this due. And so write down 50, I'll write it off paid in full. Okay, well, then he goes down, he said, and then said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 40. Settled. He only gives us two illustrations, but you understand that he would have done this to all of those because he's wanting to make as many worldly friends and get people owing him, indebted to him, as possible. But this is a parable, but this is what Jesus is presenting to help them understand the overall truth that he wanted them to learn, which is serve God as master. Use and be a steward of money, but only as you serve God as master. If you get that turned around, you start serving money as master, you will despise God. Eventually get out of church, out of being a witness for him, failing to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Wow. So he's focused on what he could do to help himself. Then we find verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. He had done the best for himself. This, the Lord, if you notice there, it's not talking about God. That first part, Lord, is talking about who he worked for. The steward's master or employee. He sees what he's done. And he's probably thinking, if you'd have been that dedicated to being my steward, you would still be my steward. He commended his resolve and worldly decisions to collect at least something for his master, which the Lord or the master of this steward would believe some is better than none. It required work. I commend you for your work. I commend you for your thinking ahead and preparing for your own self for life after the stewardship. Again, if you would have been able to show that kind of work and ethics, and you might still be my steward. So that's how the world would look at it. And then we find, this is from Christ, this is his teachings then, after that, for the children of this world, the lost of this world, are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Wow, that doesn't seem right. In Jesus' teaching, it seems like he is saying the lost are wiser than the saved. And what he did say that, but don't lose sight of why he said it. He said, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Wow. Their pursuit of this world, being, if that's all there was, this decision would be a wise decision, more so than the decisions that the children of light have to make in this world. Because this lost steward felt like all he had was his life. All he had was this generation, his generation. And for some 21 centuries, we find that everyone in their generation wants to live as if this is all there is to live for. And they're making decisions that's going to benefit them in this world. But they're going to die and go to a devil's hell without even understanding it, without realizing it. So making decisions that would be best for them in this world. Because if that's all this we have is what's in this world, then this would be the best decisions to make concerning mammon. Because if this is all there is, then let's serve mammon. Let's make the most of, have everything we can have in this world. And mammon will give me what I want. If I can make enough money, I can have whatever toys I want. If I can make enough money, I can do whatever I want to do in this life, in this world, if this world is all there was to focus on. Thinking of self would be the way to live. Whereas the believer is focused more on what will benefit them in glory. The believer understands this is not our home. We're just passing through. I'm here representing an almighty God, representing reality, representing truth, representing a different lifestyle than what the world has to live by, because all they're thinking of is their this life. They don't understand about eternity. And upon, they don't understand a righteous God. They don't understand a holy God. And so they're making decisions based on this world alone and what's best for them in this world. See, it may not be the best, and it will not be the best decisions for advancement in this world or comfort in this life. But the decisions we make is what is best for an eternity. Amen. Wow. Matthew chapter 6. Everybody following me tonight? Amen. Hopefully it's making a little more sense to you as we look at this. But Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. That's what he's doing. And when that failed, then he's going to make the best decisions on earth for himself, so he can have the most comfort in this world and the most advancement in this world and the most things in this world. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You got to believe in heaven. You have to understand heaven. You have to understand a holy, almighty, righteous God. You have to understand the purpose of our lives on this earth. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where their thieves do not break through nor steal. We have to live our life making the decisions that best please the Father and representing the Son and representing glory. not trying to receive all the rewards of this life and this world. I'm looking to something much higher. I'm looking to something much more important. And that is the rewards for eternity. So go back with me in verse 9. Jesus then addresses the disciples' use of money to reach the world and to show the love of Christ. And when we fail, and I say unto you, make yourselves friends of the mammon. Make yourselves children of God, friends of the mammon, not serving, not worshiping, not master, but using it as God would have us to use it, friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, the mammon of just simply the finances. It's the currency of the generation that you're living in. It's what you have to do to survive in this world. Make yourself friends, if you will, of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail. Now, what does that mean? When you die, when your life on this earth is over, when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Who are they? They are those that you have impacted for the cause of Christ. It's when you have spent the money to send missionaries around the world to see souls saved. It's you have been given to show the love of Christ and the willingness to give as people have need to receive and people have needs in this world. And God blesses you with an opportunity to make a difference in their lives. And they see Christ in you because of your love and giving as God would have you to give. And they see that and they receive Christ as their Savior. And when your life is over, you're going to have riches in heaven because there'll be those in heaven to receive you because you have been used of God to see souls saved. Wow. What a different way of looking at it when you understand what Jesus is presenting. When you die, those whom you have helped to receive salvation will receive you in glory. It might cost you some money, but it'll be worth every penny that you give. It might cost you a little time, but it'll be worth every minute that you give. Might cost you forgiving the unforgivable, loving the unlovable. But if that's what it takes for someone to see Christ in you and get saved, it'll be worth whatever you sacrifice as a steward in this life. Verse 10 to 12, we're done here. They said, being a good steward requires a mindset of serving and loving God more than having a love for money. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to who? To your master. Faithful to use whatever he has given you to glorify him. Befriend money to be used as per God's will with all eternity in view. What a great parable. What a great truth that we are to live by today. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight, just to think about what we've just presented and what we find in this parable of the unjust steward. And as we break it down and understand what is being presented here, what a great help it is as we serve God as master and use money only as God would have us to use it. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church to hear this message. And I pray that you'd help us to understand it and make applications in our own lives. Help us to be faithful stewards of all that you trust us with. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.